member of the Unacceptables. My mind is malignant.
Today, I open up my book for all to see. The words I speak are mine alone today.
Yes.
No offenses, no pretenses, just poetry.
Welcome to Griot Silenci.
So, as you guys know, or may not know, my position in the ArtSci Lab is the Physics Art Coordinator. I'm supposed to coordinate projects that are in the intersection of art and science, in this case, physics, because I'm a physics major. So how this came about, this idea for this discussion or podcast, is I was lying in my bed right before I fell asleep, obviously, and I was thinking, I was kind of stressed, like I've been stressed this week and the past week for really no reason, but just that I'm like, this, why is this project taking long? Of course, they're like details such as our parts that needed to be mailed that didn't come on time, we had to wait, you know, there's a lot of waiting in between. But as a you know, growing professional, and as somebody who has had a lot of difficulty in my academic life in the past, I was having some insecurities about, is it something I'm doing wrong, or is it in me, or am I dumb, or, you know, things like that. But I went to bed and I said, let me sleep. And let me let I literally told myself, let me let my head deal with it subconsciously. And I slept and I had a dream. And in the dream, my best friend, she came up to me, or she was talking to me. And she told me this quote. She was like, work is important. It always has and will be. But it's the collaborations that's the challenge, you know? So I woke up and I was like, yeah, duh. I mean, I've heard Roger say this so many times. Like, Roger's always like, collaborations, you know? Like, this is what our lab does. We collaborate. That's like the problem in academia that we want to solve, collaborations. But I've never really thought about it. I've never really sat down and thought about it systematically. Like, and when I have, it's been just like, kind of brush it off, not let's sit down and talk. So this is why I thought we should have this conversation. So collaborations. My experience with collaborations have been mostly not interdisciplinary, although I use that word cautiously because, well, every collaboration is, in a sense, interdisciplinary. Even within yourself, when you work within yourself, you are interdisciplinary. But in this case, we're saying, this is the poet, this is the scientist,
oops,
and this is the artist, and let them work together. So we've in a sense, we've oversimplified our roles. And I don't know what the the consequences of that are. I don't know. But from my experience collaborating within like school projects, within specifically in my first year of engineering, have been the in my first year of engineering and in this class I took called Modeling Physics, which tries to kind of get people talking instead of just lecturer writing on the board. It gets people to, you know, do experience with each other, talk with each other. So with engineering, it was not a good experience, my collaboration, because again, with my particular insecurities and the particular people I worked with, like, we just did not get along. I was accused of wasting time talking when in fact I was actually trying to break the ice to make things more comfortable for communicating.
Yeah, they're like engineers.
They were like, I had like honestly, like, let's just get to work, because it's like, okay, yeah, I understand where they're coming from. But usually most of the time I felt like a lag, or the one I felt like I wasn't really contributing, you know, or the one I wanted to do like the hard stuff, like that's what I thought would be a good contribution. So things like PowerPoint that they would obviously assign to me. let's not even talk about like gender prejudices, but things like PowerPoint and those things, you know, I felt like this is meaningless, you know, like I wanna do the hard science stuff. I wanna feel like a smart engineer, but I never got that collaborating with people. And then in the physics modeling class, I started to ask myself these questions, like, so when people collaborate, is it they come, they look at a problem, and then they separate and think of it on their own, and then come together and put their own problems, I mean, put the solutions together? Or do they like sit and look at the problem together and just kind of bounce off each other and bounce off until they get a structure? Like, what's actually happening? What's ideal? What's the best way to do it? And what situation would you do this? And what situation would you use the other method?
I mean, hate to say it, but both work. It depends on which one. It depends on how you can either A, in terms of engineering or in science, can you tackle a problem and break it down into subunits and you have sub-team units? Or B, trying to define the problem and trying to ask a good question about it. And either of them, from what I've seen, can work and are able to work. And it's as much the group dynamic as it is the problem itself. So I don't think there is a good answer of an either or for that choice,
mm-hmm.
or for that framing. How about that?
Yeah. So it depends on the situation.
Yeah, it depends on the situation and the people.
Mm-hmm. So, my ranting. That's my background. How about you? What's your experience been with collaboration?
A lot of the times, collaborations are usually in the sciences. A case of farming out graduate students to different labs for like several weeks or several months or a year or two to a different laboratory and kind of see and understand their dynamic to how they approach research. And very often, from what I've seen, people who are graduate students of a specific professor often adopt a lot of their techniques, a lot of their approaches, and so on and so forth. And it's different from lab to lab. Very much academia is like an old tiny medieval like apprenticeship in many ways, and the collaboration usually involves sending the grad students out to both pick up the habits of others and how they approach the sciences and how they approach like tackling a research project,
mm-hmm.
and also along with the training of, hey, you guys need to learn how to make this material, or you guys need help on this specific process that we're experts in.
Mm-hmm.
The grad student is well enough trained. I'm not going to spend their professor the professor's not going to go because he has other things to do, blah, 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 blah. That's how collaborations usually kind
mm-hmm.
of start.
So,
and then from there, it develops into like a shared interest or shared idea between both the techniques and like the attitudes that are kind of cross-fertilized as much as it is an idea of like the collaboration on a specific project. It's very much like a culture melding,
mm-hmm.
and then let's see if we can address something.
So initially in the technique of that you just described, the one party goes to the domain of the other party, and that person, the outsider, kind of becomes the observer.
Yes.
Learning, just looking, just absorbing.
Sometimes they bring something to teach, but the rest of the time it is them kind of absorbing the rest of that group dynamic and the rest of how that research lab operates. Like, when I spent time in Australia, a lot of research discussion was over a late morning coffee break and a late afternoon tea break, or after the normal working hours, beer at the local sports club, because that's how they did their bars. It was like a sports associated club due to whatever weird liquor licensing laws they had. So,
and what would happen in those discussions?
Usually it was that's where the ideas were discussed and people joked around and what have you, but that's not the way we did things here at UTD in the group that I was in. And there are some merits to it, and there are some things against it, and I'm not going to say one way or the other. I don't think I could say one way or the other. Take your pick, but it's a different way on how to approach the ideas, or how to approach discussion, because ideas in here were usually during formal meetings and they're a bit more focused, a bit more directed. Mm-hmm. And usually a lot of creativity was with somebody coming in with an interesting question rather than an interesting question arising from the discussion itself. Mm-hmm. Right? So take your pick on which one is better. I would argue that the perhaps 2/3 of those informal discussions over tea and coffee were not even about science, it was just general life bullshit. Mm-hmm. Whatever. So, but is that a better way to collaborate? Is the formal meetings a better way to collaborate? Don't know.
I would guess that it depends on the personalities as well.
Right?
Right,
There is a, from what I can tell, there is a group dynamic and a social dynamic that is greater than the sum of its parts for any given set of constituent people in that group work. Or sometimes lesser than the sum of its parts, let's not kid ourselves here. But yeah, that's what I've seen from the sciences, from my perspective.
In the arts, it's mostly individual work. There's not a lot of collaboration, especially in poetry.
I can't imagine.
It's very individual. You know, it's what's coming from someone's mind, someone's specific life experiences. So it's collaboration is kind of hard when it comes to individual things like poetry. But I think that spoken word poetry has opened up collaboration a lot between poets. And personally, this is the first time I've ever written poetry that didn't just come to me, didn't just arise.
Wasn't compelled from within you.
Right. This one actually has I do believe this is still, I'm still trying to use my own personal experiences writing this poem.
Yeah.
But it has a more focused, direct objective, you know? And that's interesting because poetry is really all about abstraction and then to put it in a sense where you have to trying to achieve one goal or you're focusing around a central idea that's been given to you. It's interesting to twist it into your own ways while keeping it true to its nature. And it's been kind of hard. It is hard. And sometimes I'll find myself going on tangents where it's this is the poetry that that I want to write and it's not really part of the project. And so I'll have to reel myself back in
and
control it. And I think I have some experience in the science field. I did an internship here at UTD with the Nanotech Institute, and then the one upstairs. And then I just general science. I've always been interested in science, and it's because science can have a lot of creativity to it, but it can also quickly be very very logical.
Mm-hmm.
And poetry can be logical. And I think that's very interesting about poetry is it combines the logical and it combines the illogical. Because you take the formal qualities of poetry, you take a sonnet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's 14 lines, it's ABAB, right? It's a strict meter. But then you add in all these personal details and people use this form over and over and over again. They twist the form and they play with it. And just that playing with something that is strict and making into something that's your own is a very interesting dynamic that I'm trying to play with the poetry, and especially in this collaboration.
Based on, sorry, just that description that he said of having a strict structure and then just putting flexibility within it based on your own experience, how would you compare that to how a scientist works?
Scientific reporting has strict codes of description for repeatability and so on and so forth. Scientific investigation can be, take away my busy box, all right. Scientific investigation itself can be very slapdash. I mean, I've mentioned before, like, you know, I've had a discovery that was just me watching the solar cell and watching the electrolyte itself change colors and change states without, like, you know, recording it or anything on the lines, or just kind of stumbling across it. So, I mean, it's a science until you prettify it up, until you make sure that you can do this repeatably, until you do a report on it, is a lot more, in my opinion, is a lot more disorganized and a lot more slapdash and a lot more serendipity than we like to let on, I think. And I'm not sure if it's logical is the better word to say it, but at least internally consistent with the current framework, because that's invoking Kuhn again, but I mean, it doesn't matter if it makes sense or no. Does it matter if it's, like, consistent is the real test of the model, or does it give, you know, testable ideas? Mm-hmm. Right, that's the value of any given scientific model. So that's kind of where I fall on that kind of question.
I see. So I'm gonna go back to what Blake said earlier, because that was just a branching talk.
Yeah, yeah.
But so the way you described it, for example, your process of writing the poem, this specific carbon nanotube poem that you're working on, is, you know, you write it and you start to question yourself, like, is this just my thing, or is it really staying true to what the project is doing? And then you also have a background in science, as you said, you had wanted to be a chemist, study chemistry before you changed to poetry. But that's interesting for me, because when I started attempting to write scientific poetry, and it has gotten easier over time, but the way I describe it is I had kind of two conflicting voices within me, and they were really just shutting each other down. You know, like the scientist would be forever demeaning the poet, like judging the poet. And the poet would just never be satisfied with the scientist's work. It's like, you know, that's...
Yeah.
It's like... So what you're describing for me is like a sort of internal way of collaborating. It's... And you say that a lot of poets don't really collaborate, because it's a very intimate kind of work. It's a very personal... it's a personal thing to write a poem. And I did have a friend who he had shown interest in working in this project, but eventually he was like, I really can't, because poetry is not that for me. Like, I can't sit down, be told a topic, especially the way science topics are presented, you know, very appearing to be de facto, and then write a poem about that. Because it's like, I have, what do carbon nanotubes mean to me?
Right.
Like,
you can't just write carbon nanotubes right? into a poem as well.
It's like, what are they to me? They're nothing to me. At least at first glance, you know.
Yeah, I think the whole job of, like, a poet is to translate these observations we make into some kind of universal form and into some kind of I mean, the poetic form. Like, that's what I've been doing. I've been observing what the carbon nanotubes are doing, mm-hmm. thinking about what that makes. Like, when you described them thinking about hair, I was thinking about that. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking about how, like, when you're remembering something, it's almost like brushing hair. Like, it's mm-hmm. a repeated process. You're going through the motions again, and you're reliving mm-hmm. these memories. And, like, in that way, they're connected. But not in a strict, like, this is this to yeah. this to this.
Yeah.
But you have to draw out the metaphor and, like, add pieces to it as you go along.